it's actually right now, I think what the space need is not necessarily more coders, which is, you know, we have them more, of course, it's great. But what we need people who specialize in different areas so that they can bring more, let's say, human touch and face to the project. Because I'll give an example. Recently, you know, there was, I think Daniel here was trying to organize the buying coffee at Crypto Barista.
Mm-hmm.
And there were instructions, which were like four steps, you know, go to this, click this link, go to this, download this. And I just went through four steps and was like, I'm not doing it. It's just
way too complicated to get a coffee.
Coffee, exactly. Yes, not worth it. Yeah. I'll just tap my Visa, you know.
Yeah.
So I think if we want the space to be flourishing like it is in the future, we need to figure out the way to make it more usable for everybody.
These are the amazing crypto chicks, Natalia Amelie and Elena Sinelnikova, and this is episode 18 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 18 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm Adriana Bellotti, and our guests today are Elena Sinelnikova and Natalia Amelie, co-founders of CryptoChicks. CryptoChicks is a volunteer-run nonprofit educational hub with a mission to grow the economic, professional, and leadership potential of both women and youth in blockchain and AI through education, mentorship, business, and diverse employment opportunities. Elena and Natalia were both born and raised in the outskirts of Moscow and now live in beautiful Toronto. We are all part of organizing EdCon, an Ethereum community conference that was held in Sydney this year, where they ran a three-day hackathon that has produced some really cool ideas and was a lot of fun. Here's our chat. We were all part of organizing EdCon, an Ethereum community conference that was held in Sydney this year, where they ran a three-day hackathon that has produced some really cool ideas and was a lot of fun. Here's our chat. Right. Hi, Elena and Natalia. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Adriana. Good.
Thank you so much for meeting me. We are here at EdCon. Hey. Have you been having a great week?
It was amazing.
Fantastic.
It was tiring, but amazing.
Amazing. Great. So let's go back in time and talk about how you started your careers and what did you do at university. Let's start with that. I know you've met back then, so what's the story behind that?
Yeah, we met with Natalia back in university, but actually back at the start of our university year. When we just, you know, saw each other and been friends since then. It was many, many years ago.
Was that in Moscow?
It was in Moscow.
It was in Moscow.
Yeah, we still lived there.
We studied in the We got accepted into the Moscow University of Electronic Technology to study computer science.
Wow.
The master's program, and that's where we met.
All right. And fast forwarding to what you're working on when you first heard about crypto.
I think I was a software developer back at the Edmonton Police Service,
mm-hmm.
where I worked over 15 years. And that's where I learned about crypto first thing when just Ethereum came up.
Mm-hmm.
We started, we installed the wallet. That's how we got into it. So we got interested on how to do that, the wallet, and started reading more about the technology. And at the beginning, we struggled quite a lot even with the wallet because the technology was not perfect. Well, still not perfect right now. But back then, there was a lot of information even online about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and since then, you know, we kind of wanted to make it easier for other people, and especially for women, to deal with this technology. Right? So we thought that it should not be that difficult to install the wallet, and we would like to help as much as we can for other people to learn it, to adopt this technology, because technology is so cool, and very democratic. Completely decentralized, and I personally fell in love with it and made my mission to make other people know and learn it.
It's surprising to me that Ethereum was your first touch point, because for most people is Bitcoin. How about you, Natalia?
Same here. I heard about Bitcoin, but Ethereum was something that I played with first, if we talk about the crypto.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of the people I know, they started as a kind of like investing mechanism. But for us, it was different. So we always been keen about the technology. Well, I'm personally was always. And to learn this new piece and new concept was very fascinating.
And you are co-founders of CryptoChicks Canada.
Yes.
And how did you decide to start that? What motivated you?
I think Alina touched on it, right? So what was motivating us is really to help women to get into the space and get benefit from the technology, right? Because there are multiple facets how you can get involved and how you can benefit. But I think this technology provides lots of opportunities for women to, you know, let's say even to advance their careers, right? Over the years, recently, there was a lot of talk about, you know, how the jobs are shifting towards, you know, coding and technical space in general.
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, I think that we do need to attract more women so that they set up better for future careers and feel more comfortable with technology.
So which year did you start CryptoChicks?
That was back, so formally was started in 2017.
2017, so
yeah,
about
we
2 years.
In the space before that, yes.
But in these last 2 years since you've started, have you seen a big difference between how many women was then and how many there is now? And how much work do you think that we need to do? How do you go about that on your daily lives, trying to get more women involved?
It's an ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely see the difference, and of course, especially at our conferences, and we're doing a conference in hackathons that are women-focused and youth-focused. Of course, we have lots of applications from women to compete at our hackathons, and we also have lots of messages that come in our way through the website from the women that are interested. And this in the last year, we also put the award for outstanding women in the blockchain space. So we are awarding $2,500 to the woman every year that is sponsored by Opinion Economy Blockchain, one of our sponsors,
mm-hmm.
every year, to bring attention to the outstanding women in the space. And of course, when we go to the conferences, now we see many more women, especially in Toronto area where we operate. We see a lot of them, and majority of them are our past, you know, hackathon participants, so the women that were involved in the space. We can really see the result.
Oh, that's awesome. And you have now a chapter in another country?
We have chapters in Pakistan. So yeah. Chapter in Pakistan is the hackathon and the conference in Pakistan is happening this weekend, April 12 to 14. We have two ladies that working on the ground, Sfaiza Yusuf and Shamim Rayani. This is two amazing, strong ladies that are gathered around the community of women, technical women that are participating in this hackathon. They're running the whole event, two of them, and it's a big event right now, so it turned out to be very big. We are helping out remotely, facilitating all the hackathon activities, the ones that we excel in.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole event is put together by these two amazing women. So we also have an amazing ambassador in New York area,
mm-hmm.
Rhonda Eldridge, who is also taking care right now at our Bahamas chapter. So
mm-hmm.
she's originally she's Bahamian, and she put together a strong community around the CryptoChicks chapter in Bahamas and organizing a hackathon there right now, involving everybody, you know, the prime minister, the government of Bahamas in this hackathon. So this hackathon is for the underprivileged children and will be run in August 23 to 25. So we are starting inviting, you know, sponsors and speakers to Bahamas to support the youth there. And of course, our hackathon that are run at our home chapter in Toronto, May 31st to June 2nd. So that's our home chapter is Toronto, Canada.
On average, how many hackathons do you run in a year?
I think it depends because they're different in size and mm-hmm. different in terms of how we present and structure it. But I think on average, we're probably averaging one a month.
Yes. Lately we've been running once a month. That's how it's starting. Yes, it's starting to be more and more. So before that, since 2017, we had only one a year, and then now it's more and more people learn about it. More and more people want to get involved, and then we are working with the different now regions. So we started working with Milan, with Italy, organizing one there, for example, in the fall. And the Bahamas one, the Pakistan one, so that they are now quite often. We don't have that system that we run, especially, periodically, except for the Toronto one. So Toronto one we committed to run once a year,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big one, and that's where the Women in Blockchain Award going out, and we have a huge, hackathon, and we usually have 500 people conference in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that one is once a year.
And are you both working full-time in crypto?
I am full-time in crypto. That's Elena.
I'm full-time not in crypto. But all the spare time that I get, I dedicate to it.
That's good. And how much of your crypto life flows into your non-crypto life? Do you talk about it to your co-workers and get them all involved? How much of education in that aspect of your life plays a part?
Definitely talking about it to co-workers, those who are interested. It's kind of interesting outside of the space. Sometimes, when we are in a space, we think that everybody's into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of drinking our Kool-Aid a little bit. Once you step out, you have people who are, through work, I was talking to some people. Some people don't know about it and they don't want about it. They're kind of indifferent. Okay. Some people are actively against it. They think it's a scam. Bitcoin is a scam.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people like this. So it's for me, it's more, if people are interested, you gauge an interest and you help them to learn more. You direct them to the right resources. You explain, yourself. And if they're not interested, you kind of let them be,
But we make kind of our mission, every woman that we come across, for example, taxi drivers, right? So
yeah.
Every woman that Uber drivers we come across, we invite, we tell about it, and invite it to our conference. And this way, we're getting more women. Yeah, so that we're doing this part ourselves.
Do all your girlfriends come to
absolutely
events?
Yes,
it's a requirement.
We pulled all our friends, all our girlfriends. Yes, they are part of our, not only part of our hackathons, but also we involve quite a few of our friends in our core chapter. And yes, so they actually ended up working with us.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, and those who are not in the core chapter, they volunteer at our conference. So it's...
Mm-hmm.
They get involved in some way. Do they all have wallets with crypto in them?
Not all of them.
Not all of them. Yes.
Okay.
Not all of them. Again, this is an investor kind of attitude, right? So
yeah.
We not encourage that. So we encourage to learn about technology and know behind it, not to hold any coins, or the wallets. Yeah, of course, the wallets is a very good way to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and majority of them, I'll say that they do. Yes, they do have a wallet, and they know what it is. But not all of them.
Mm-hmm. If there was one thing that you could do to speed up the process of bringing women into the space, what would that be? One big wish.
For me, I think it's we need to tackle it from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we really need to focus on not losing women who have interest in technology to other fields. And this happens sometime between, maybe in starting in teenagers. Because we had this amazing event in California, which was run by Crypto for Kids,
mm-hmm.
and we participated there. Our representative was basically teaching a group of kids how to assemble a mining computer.
Mm.
And that group of kids were 6 through 8, 9, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of them were little girls. And it's amazing to see how interested they were and so how keen they were to, copy. Okay, so how do you assemble this computer? You take this part, you take this part. So it was like Lego to them.
Mm-hmm.
They played with it easily. So, you know, when I hear the sometimes people say, oh, girls are not naturally interested in this, I really disagree. I look at these kids, at this group of kids, and the girls that I saw were really interested in it. And they were excited when we went for lunch, came back, and there was some mining activity happened. Everybody was just, you know, so running around like crazy. They were so happy. So, but then you fast forward, and somewhere or somehow we get to the point where we have less than 8% of women in technology in general, right? So somewhere along the way, this interest is lost. And my wish would be to figure out how we can keep the interest going from the time when the 7-year-old excited about mining computer until they are in the adult life, right? And start building their careers and businesses. It was recently very interesting, a study that published that I read about how engineers who are, you know, there are not that many women that get into engineering,
mm-hmm.
but once they graduate, how many of them actually dropped out
mm-hmm.
and not continue working in the engineering field. And, you know, they were doing some interviews, and one of the things they were mentioning is this effect of camaraderie, because women, they like sometimes to hang out with a king.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to go out for coffee with, you know, their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out that, you know, most of the girlfriends got a job in some other place, and they kind of become part of the boys club.
Yep.
And not of them have an appetite for, you know, working in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's, you know, bad environment. It's just, you know, some people just want friendships at work. Right?
Yes.
So that was cited in the studies, one of the reasons why, you know, some women not continue working on this. And of course, I mean, there are known facts around how women in technology, you know, like in particular in North America, recently there was a big outbreak talking about how, you know, women are treated in the technology companies. So I think all this kind of doesn't help what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So bigger wish, help to solve these factors.
Yeah. What happens during school life that turns girls off of
exactly.
engineering and computer science,
yeah.
and all
that's
of that.
That's why we put, so one of the things that we're doing, we put together youth hackathons. So we are tackling this age where the girls drop out, like when we think they are dropping out, and we are encouraging these girls to attend our hackathons. And we put them in environments not all girls only, right? So we put
yep.
them in environments girls, boys. So the mixed ones, that's why I say we call it the youth. It's not the girls hackathon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have them in this, you know, combined environment, and we think it's very, you know, healthy. But in that way, in that age, in that way, we can get them more involved. Yeah, so we had just had a hackathon in Switzerland, so we're planning to have our hackathon in Toronto, which has a youth track in it,
mm-hmm.
and the Bahamas, that will be completely youth hackathon.
All right.
For the high school kids and the university.
So we're probably going to start seeing the results of this amazing work in about 5 to 6 year times as they come out of university and, you know, stick to their crypto careers, and we start seeing more women in leadership positions in crypto.
Yes. Yeah, and we also combine our efforts with other organizations that work on the same goals as we do. For example, Women for Blockchain, so that, like, Women in Blockchain. So there are lots of organizations that work in on the same goal as CryptoChicks. So we are, we put a great hackathon that involved youth in New York University,
mm-hmm.
Together with Women for Blockchain. And that was actually one of the first ones where we had the youth track. And we're really happy about that. So one of the teams, the youth team, actually won this hackathon.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. Similar thing happened in our Toronto hackathon. The winner of our Toronto hackathon from last year was actually a 15-year-old girl.
That's
yes.
amazing.
Yeah, so she won it. This was 1% team. Yeah, so she was
1% team. And 100% judges voted for her.
That's, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. What was the project, do you remember?
It was a genome and blockchain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so she put the genomic information on the blockchain.
That's just big.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. she worked at that time. She did the genomic research, and she thought that was the need putting this data. So for the research, it was very, very useful to put it on the blockchain and incentivize people to use the blockchain to put their data there. Anonymously,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you know, it's safe, encrypted, and
mm-hmm.
available for the researchers.
All right. And do you know, that was last year?
Yeah, that was last year. Yes.
So almost a year from now, do you know if she has taken that further? Or
After this hackathon consensus, I know the consensus hired her at the age of 15.
Oh, there you go. So she's working in crypto. Yeah.
She worked in multiple, in multiple companies. She worked in consensus. She worked at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. She worked in Walmart. She went to US also, some company worked there. And she also continuously keeps building different projects. So her recent one, fun project on the side, she invented the AI robot,
Pikachu,
which is a toy.
Oh.
His name is Pikachu.
Okay.
And, you know, she can talk to him. There is a multiple videos on YouTube. You can Google it if you like.
There's one on our website, toronto.cryptochicks.ca.
Oh.
Yeah, you can go and play. We actually put them together within our conference that May 31st to June 2nd. That will be a family day on a Sunday where parents can bring their kids to play blockchain games. And she's going to be bringing this AI robot Pikachu that kids can talk to, a live Pikachu. It's very amazing. You can like watch this video, and he's like, you know, the real person, right? So that he can talk to us. It's AI. Mm-hmm.
And it's great because in the crypto space, you don't always need a fancy university diploma to do well, right? And you can start really young and just, you know, pick up a project, go learn and run with it. And the community is very accepting of that.
That's exactly what it is, you know, because some corporate jobs you need, you know, that's the degree and experience and you name it, right? So to work in the community, in the blockchain community, yes, you don't need all these requirements. You just need to be, you know, smart and enthusiastic, right? So that's
willing to learn.
Willing to learn, exactly. Willing to work, hardworking, and community is very accepting of that. So this is a real great opportunity for young people to get involved.
And, you know, we always say that if you want to be part of the space, you don't need to be a coder. I mean, some people are turned off by, you know, thinking, oh, I'm not this geeky, I don't know how to code. It's all very difficult. It's actually, right now, I think what the space needs is not necessarily more coders, which is, you know, we have them more, of course, it's great. But what we need is we need people who specialize in different areas so that they can bring more, let's say, human touch and face to the project. Because I'll give an example. Recently, you know, there was, I think Daniel here was trying to organize the buying coffee at Crypto Barista.
Mm-hmm.
And there were instructions, which were like four steps, you know, go to this, click this link, go to this, download this. And I just went through four steps and was like, I'm not doing it. It's just way too...
way too complicated to get a coffee.
Coffee, exactly. Not worth it. I'll just tap my Visa, you know.
Yeah.
So I think if we want the space to be flourishing like it is in the future, we need to figure out the way to make it more usable for everybody.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's where women can actually excel, because I think women in general, they have more kind of, they have the side where they're concerned about people, and I think they're great in the jobs where, you know, to make it comfortable for others. And I think right now we need to move from, like, you know, green blinking screen type instructions to something which is
human. Readable.
And communication and teaching and, you know, women.
You know, everything. Yeah. You know, operations, marketing, finance, all these companies need all this. So you don't need to be a coder. You can help a lot by bringing your skills into space.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. Any final words of wisdom for the young girls out there thinking about it?
Yeah, if you would like interesting work, lots of travel and fun community, yeah, come join the blockchain space.
That's it. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And let's go have some drinks. Oh my, how amazing are these women? You can connect with Elena and Natalia on Twitter at crypto_chicks. Check out their website, cryptochicks.ca. When you have a chance, there's heaps of videos from past hackathons and all the good work they've been doing. If you like this episode, do share it. And remember, if you haven't yet, take 2 minutes to review it. That truly makes my day and will earn you a shout out in a future episode. For questions, head over to blockchainpropodcast.com and drop me a message. I'll be happy to assist however I can. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you at the next block.